I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West. This is the Go 24/7 podcast. We come to you today, Glenn. I don't know about you, but where I am, it is rainy. So the opportunity to talk about baseball is going to be, I think, of the birds chirping, freshly cut grass, way opposite the way it looks outside my apartment right now.
Very similar to Baton Rouge weather. We've been under pretty much a flood warning for most of Sunday, and we're recording this on a Monday, and it's still pretty gloomy outdoors. I'm going to head over to some baseball stuff a little bit later in the afternoon. Hopefully they are able to scrimmage on Monday afternoon, so we'll have some stuff up on the board for that for people to look at. But yeah, not much better over here, man. It's been pretty bad weather.
Well, look, baseball weather is the best, in my opinion. I absolutely love springtime. You got to hear one of the best sounds to me ever, and that is the sound of the ball flying into the ballpark, the ball hitting a bat, which is one of the best sounds. On Friday, it was media day. You sent over some audio, but I kind of want to paint the picture here because, Glenn, what was the atmosphere like? I know there had to be some genuine excitement to really start to gear things up. These guys have been working all offseason, training, lifting, but to get out there on the field and really kind of kick things off, it's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, certainly a lot of excitement around this team. I mean, we touched on it a little bit last week with the banquet and all the fans that got to go out and see that. But certainly when they're actually able to put the uniform on and start hitting, start practicing, start getting their gloves on balls and stuff like that, I think it's just it's a different feeling. And you could certainly feel that. We had a chance to talk with several players, which we'll go into a little bit more depth as we record this pod. Really, I mean, media days for baseball are always one of my favorite ones just because you get a chance to really get some of these players one-on-one before the season starts and kind of pick their brains on just how offseason's gone, just how the connection of this team is starting to develop. And you certainly got a chance to hear that in the players' voices on Friday. And so, you know, they're in full swing now. I mean, they've got 18 practices over the next, 20 some odd days before the season starts. And they're a team that's got, laser focus here on the start of their season and opening it up here on February 17th. So it was a really good kind of first interaction with all the players and getting to catch up with Jay Johnson and picking his brain on what the season looks like. So certainly a lot to dive into, though.
Yeah, a lot to dive into. You put up an article earlier in the week about the chemistry of this group. Was that really, could you tell that just in the brief moments you guys were able to see? I mean, this is a group that's been working on this, the relationship, the guys seem to like each other, which we know is very important over the grueling course of a college baseball season.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you could certainly see it. I mean, I probably talked to six or seven different players, a couple more one-on-one, and you can hear it in all their voices. I mean, there was a very common message being delivered from these players on Friday, just how connected this team is. You know, Gavin Dugas is one example, a guy who's been around the program now for 5 years. I had a chance to talk with Gavin a little bit, and he essentially told me that, like, this is the closest team he's felt like he's been a part of. I mean, just to this point. I mean, he's been a part of some really special teams, some teams that have gone to super regionals, that have hosted a super regional here in Baton Rouge before. And, he says just the connection with this group is right up there with some of the better teams that he's been a part of. And so that gives you a lot of confidence to hear it from a guy like him who's been around the program for a while, been a part of a lot of different, teams and different personalities. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I took from this is that, you know, look, they're going to be a selfless team. That was probably the word that I heard thrown around the most on Friday was them having to be selfless this season, because they are a deep and talented group, not only for the pitching staff, but also out in the field with the position players. Guys aren't going to be able to see the field every day. I mean, you're going to see Dylan Cruz at shortstop. You're going to see Trey Morgan at first. You know, you're going to see Jordan Thompson at shortstop to start the year. Tommy White at third base. But, you know, there's a lot of positions that are up for grabs and that Coach Johnson feels like will be, you know, opportunities for several guys to see the field early in the year and see which ones stick. And there might not be an everyday starter at second base by the time the season ends. You know, and I think that's, you know, a really good kind of way to look at this for these players' perspectives, is that they're going to come in and they're going to be able to compete every day for a chance to play. And whichever ones are performing at the highest level, we'll see the field. And I think that healthy competition was really something that stood out to me in talking with a bunch of these players.
Let's talk about some of those positions. Obviously, the one that a lot of fans wanted to know coming into the season is, who's the Friday night guy? Who is that going to be? We learned that Paul Skeens is going to get that honor, at least at the beginning of the season. And we hope, Glenn, you know, Tiger fans hope that that's something he carries throughout the whole entire season and well into the month of June. When you look at Skeens, I mean, look, the stats speak for himself, but when you were talking with, you know, obviously Wes Johnson, new pitching coach, got to talk. I mean, you know, Jay Johnson. What is it? Is it a combination of talent and moxie? I mean, what does Paul have that this they feel like, hey, this guy, at least at the beginning, is going to be our Friday night starter?
Yeah, I would say probably the one thing that I've, you know, kind of gathered about Paul just in talking with not only him but with the coaching staff is, this is a guy who knows what it takes to be successful. You know, he's been spent the last couple of years at the Air Force Academy, where he's learned a lot about just self-discipline and being – kind of making sure you're the best version of yourself you can be every day. And he learned a lot of really great, you know, kind of personal self stuff about himself over over those couple of years at Air Force. And so I think you really got a chance to see it, you know, over the weekend. If you guys got a chance to talk or got a chance to go out there and catch a few innings, he's got it. I mean, he throws about 100 miles an hour. With his fastball, he delivers, you know, three or four different pitches for strikes. He's a guy that I think absolutely LSU fans should be ecstatic about as the Friday night guy. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens behind him. You know, there's a lot of guys that I think are going to be considered over the next couple weeks for this weekend rotation. Thatcher Hurd, Christian Little, Grant Taylor, Ty Floyd. I think those are probably the collection of guys that you're looking at in terms of which ones start Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then one of those guys will be the closer. I fully expect one of, you know, Grant Taylor, Thatcher Hurd, or Ty Floyd to be the closer. Talk with a couple people in the program, you know, just kind of casually about that. And, you know, they're looking to throw either one of those guys out. They feel comfortable any one of those three going in and being the closer for this program. And so when you put it all together, and all the returning talent, all the guys they brought in from the freshman class, there's just options. And I think that was probably the second word, you know, not just the selflessness of this team, but there are options with this team on the pitching staff that they just didn't have last year. And so when you kind of put all that together, I think you can expect a really, really great pitching effort from the Tigers this year.
Yeah, and obviously they're led by new pitching coach Wes Johnson, and I got the chance to take the audio that you so graciously provided and bestowed upon me. The big thing I took out of Wes Johnson, kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this, was, look, it's not often we see a guy go from a division-leading major league team, not a minor league ranks, and come down. Now, I know that was well documented well before I, you know, arrived on the scene, but I wanted to dive back into that, because when you hear what he had to say about the vision and the talent and the many options that LSU has to go in, whether it's bullpen or in a rotation sense, I'm not deep into analytics baseball-wise, Glenn. I'm still a little bit old school. But the teaching of the why and the how, I think, is what really could unlock a lot of potential for a lot of these pitchers, Skeens included.
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, Wes Johnson, I think, is the perfect guy to kind of you know, mediate that, you know, that logic, that sound thinking. I think they're, he had a lot of success, you know, recently with the Minnesota Twins. And I think this was a situation though, where he was ready to get back to college. I think he likes coaching at this level, and likes interacting and growing these young arms into some, you know, potentially MLB level talent. And so, you know, when you look at, you know, the first year of what he has to work with, I think it makes you really excited about the potential of this group. And one of the things that we've kind of come to experience at LSU the last several years has been injuries. I mean, arm injuries have been, you know, a detriment to seasons here the last couple of years. You know, you don't have to go very far back and look at Javon Coleman last year, who had the UCL injury. They've had a number of players in the past that have had shoulder and elbow injuries that have just kept them from fulfilling that talent. And so when you bring in a guy like Wes Johnson, who has seen it at the MLB level, knows how to take care of arms, knows how, you know, not to overextend guys in some spots, knows when to rest them, knows what makes them tick. I think that is extremely valuable for all of these pitchers. And so, you know, he's going to be extremely useful this year. The new strength and conditioning coach that they brought in is already starting to see some really big improvements in a lot of these players' bodies. And so he's going to be a big use. I can't space on his name right now, but I'll go in and find it in a minute. But just, yeah, I think that this is going to be a pitching staff that is very, very highly touted throughout the year and is going to certainly lead LSU to some more wins.
Yeah, and he's stated before that a lot of guys are throwing really well right now, and the best thing you want is you hit the nail on the head. I mean, look, over the course of the season, injuries are going to happen. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises. There's going to be sore arms. A lot of guys are going to be asked to take on a role maybe they haven't taken in years past, and it's different. It's different. So to have so many guys that are throwing well right now that you feel comfortable is a good problem to have. I promise you, and I love how you said this earlier, you have to calm fans down, especially the midweek games. I'll say this part. You can never have enough pitching. Never have enough pitching, especially with those midweek games that you got to have some good arms throw there because you want to get some wins there as well. We take a look across the rest of the diamond, and we you mentioned, and I mean the corners are, you feel pretty solid about the corner infielders. You mentioned earlier, kind of some lightness on the shortstop position. You know, it's right now, we've got a guy they feel like they're going to have in place. Could that change? What are the options if it falters? Kind of what's the plan there?
Yeah, so Jordan Thompson's going to get the start at shortstop. I think it would probably take a pretty big drop-off between now and the start of the season for him not to see the field on that opening day. He's been, from all accounts, and just talking with him and talking with the coaches, he's 100% healthy. Just a guy who I think is going to be a real mainstay at shortstop. And, you know, he went through some defensive issues last year for the Tigers, but he was a little bit banged up too. And I think as he got healthier throughout the season, you know, he alleviated some of those defensive concerns. Jay Johnson has fully endorsed Jordan as the starting shortstop this offseason. So really excited to see what he can do, because he also made some really big strides at the plate last year. A lot of people want to hark on the defensive issues, but I thought he – at times was their most clutch hitter last year for them in some big spots. So be really great to get him back and into the fold at shortstop. In terms of what it could look like after him, I think you're probably looking at Gavin Guidry or Ben Nippel at shortstop. Those are two guys that are going to be competing for second base as well. But I think they're going to have, you know, a good four or five guys that they can run at either shortstop or second base, which will certainly keep all those players on their toes as the season moves along. And we can certainly get into second base here in a minute, but I do think that's probably the biggest, I wouldn't want to say question mark, but just the biggest position right now that I think you're really looking at and saying, okay, who's going to be the guy that steps up in that spot?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So let's play the hypothetical game. Let's say Thompson is that guy, and he provides, you know, a good glove and an adequate bat at the shortstop position. What does second base look like? I know you touched on earlier this could be, you know, a platoon situation. It could be playing the matchup, seeing what it looks like. I mean, is there a guy right now that you're hearing or you've seen that kind of stands out at the second base spot?
Yeah, look, I mean, everything we've heard, you know, just from the fall and even into this last weekend during the spring is that Jack Merrifield is really standing out at second base. He's the JUCO transfer they got from LSU Eunice a couple of years ago. He played some third base for him last year. Didn't really fit well at third base, I don't think, and they kind of had to do some shifting early in the year. But he's come back this year, and apparently he's just been – mashing the ball offensively and been a really steady force defensively as well. So I absolutely think you're going to see Jack Merrifield early in this year, kind of get some looks at second base. I think the transfer, Ben Nippelt, is another guy you really need to be watching out for. And Gavin Guidry, the freshman, is going to be somebody who's going to get some opportunities. And I'm going to be really interested to see what Gavin Dugas can do. I mean, I've been pounding the wall for Gavin the last several years. He's been a really steady force for them when he's been healthy and in the lineup, but he's been going through some more injury stuff. Unfortunately, he had an eye surgery in November that he's still kind of working his way back from. He doesn't have the reps yet that all those other guys have. So hopefully when I get out there on Monday afternoon, I'll be able to get a chance to see if maybe he can play a little bit. He didn't suit up, I don't think, for either of the two first scrimmages on Friday or Saturday, but certainly want to see Dugas out there as well, because a couple years ago, people may not remember this, but he was their most clutch hitter like 2 years ago at left field. He was amazing for LSU at the plate. And so if he doesn't get the second base job, I can certainly see him, DHing or pinch hitting in key spots. I mean, he's been that guy for LSU for a couple of years now, and I think would be it would be really unfortunate for him to just kind of fall out of the lineup completely. I don't think that's going to happen, but there's certainly a lot of competition right now at second base. I like what Nippelt can do. Merrifield continues to impress, and Guidry's a freshman star that I think they're going to want to see on the field, at least in some capacity.
I'll ask this, because as you get into SEC play later in the season, weaknesses, holes in your lineup can be magnified when you play better competition. So on that second base job, you know, with the offensive potential everywhere else, if that's clicking in the lineup, you know, outfield, I mean, obviously we know the guys that are going to be able to be big bats in this lineup. To win the second base job, to hold it down, is it really going to be a combination of, you know, they don't have to be the offensive guy? Maybe they just need to have a really good glove and provide solid defense And, you know, maybe timely hitting, like you were talking about a guy like Dugas. I mean, in your opinion, what does it take? I mean, does this a spot in the lineup that has to produce at a high clip offensively?
I don't think so. I think probably what they're looking for is consistent hitters across the board, not necessarily guys who are going to drive in runs every time they're at the plate or power themselves to home runs, you know, in that respect. I think they're just going to be looking for guys to get on base because, you know, usually your middle infielders, your most athletic players, they're most, you know, the guys that you want to get on base and have run around the bags to give yourselves more chances to score. And so I think that's probably what they're looking at more so than anything is guys that are going to be able to draw walks, hit for contact, get on base on first and second doubles or, you know, singles and stuff of that nature. So I think that's probably what you're looking for at second base. Now, look, a couple of these guys do have some power. Gavin Guidry is certainly a guy who was brought in because of his offensive repertoire as well. He's a guy that has some pop to him. You know, Dugas is a guy who's hit double-digit home runs in a season before. So there's potential there for that second base to really be an offensive juggernaut. But I think more so than anything, when you've got, you know, Tommy White, Dylan Cruz, Trey Morgan, Josh Pearson, those guys who are all just, you know, offensive menaces at the plate, you just want somebody behind them that's going to be able to get on base and really be able to extend runs.
Before we move to the outfield, I want to wrap up kind of the infield with this. We've talked about the pitching staff, but Alex Milazzo, and I was, you know, listening to the audio that you sent. Obviously, he dealt with an injury last year that just really didn't allow him to have the season that he wanted. But this is a guy that you don't have to be an LSU fan, or in my position, you don't have to have covered LSU baseball to know this is a tough, gritty guy. I mean, it's the catcher position, which is, you know, one of the tougher positions to play in all of sports. What has Milazzo done this offseason to really make you feel like, and what did he tell you, he can have a big year, and he can command this pitching staff and be that coach out there on the field, but also have a good offensive year because he's a guy that can do that. He has the potential to be a really an offensive star.
Yeah, I mean, look, Milazzo is the one knock on him has been his ability to not be able to get on base as a catcher. And, like, he's a defensive wizard, though. I mean, what he can do behind the plate, he saves outs. I mean, he generates outs. He saves big innings because of his ability to play defense behind these pitchers. And so I don't see a scenario right now where Milazzo doesn't see the field because he was making progress last year before his injury. You know, he had a bit of a knee injury last year that they just couldn't figure out what exactly the root of the problem was during the season. He had the offseason surgery and from all accounts has been really, really good in his return and his rehab and improvement as an overall player. And so I'm really excited to see what Milazzo can do. He's the veteran of this group. And look, catcher is a position where, you know, you don't really need to have a 20 home run kind of guy at catcher. I mean,
that's a luxury to have.
Yeah, it's a luxury to have that. And so what you want is a defensive guy. And you know, I think LSU's probably best defensive catcher before Milazzo got here in the last 10 years was Michael Papirski. And he was not a absolute, you know, swinging menace at the plate either. He had some big moments in that run to Omaha and in that environment. But, you know, he wasn't exactly a 300 kind of guy with, you know, 10 home run plus kind of you know, averages. I mean, I just think that the offensive power that you have here with this group, and if Milazzo is able to continue to show you that he can get on base like he did last year, he's going to be a guy that gets a lot of opportunities. Brady Neal is another guy, a freshman who Jay Johnson called out by name, who was ready defensively to be a contributor. And so the questions with these freshmen was always going to be if they could be ready defensively to compete in the SEC. And it certainly sounds like Brady Neal can. He's a guy who came in. I think he's one of the top catchers in the country this year as a freshman recruit, if not the top. And so and he's one of those guys that, you know, is the luxury of the catcher position. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that can get you the double-digit home runs if he gets a lot of opportunities this year. And so really excited to see what he can do. They've got Ethan Frey. They've got Hayden Travinsky, Jared Jones, who's also working a little bit with first base as well. Just a lot of names that you can throw out there at that catcher spot.
Yeah, and it's a good problem to have. Once again, a lot of depth to really good. And I would go back on Brady Neal. I got the chance to watch some of his highlights and everything. And this is a kid that you talked about is when you look at catchers nowadays, and really throughout everything, you have to be a plus defender to be able to play in the SEC, to be able to have a chance at the next level. But when you add in a kid that has the potential of the bat that Brady Neal has, it wouldn't surprise me, Glenn, to see him get some spot starts in midweek games, to see him, you know, that'll give a chance for a guy, for, you know, other guys to get some rest, maybe just a DH spot or something like that. But, you know, if Neal forces the issue, I will say this, if Neal forces the issue and he gets some at-bats during SEC play, that's a good problem to have. That's a really, really good problem to have. So let's move to the outfield where, obviously, I mean, everyone knows the name of Dylan Cruz. Everyone knows what this group can do. But from a depth perspective, how do you feel about this group? Because like we talked about, anything can happen, God forbid. Anything can happen. But what does this group look like, you know, throughout their whole season? I mean, what do they have behind these guys?
Yeah, so Dylan Cruz will be your starting center fielder. Don't think I'm breaking any news there. Josh Pearson will start in either right or left field. Still want to see a couple scrimmages before I kind of really pencil him in at either one of those positions because I do feel like there's going to be a lot of guys competing for that outfield spot, that other outfield spot, and there's just different things that they do well that could kind of change the trajectory of where they are out in the, whether it's right or left field. So, but Pearson's going to be a fixture in the lineup. I think that he really proved last year as a true freshman to be a difference maker at the plate. And he also was a very solid defender. Still some work to do there, but he was telling me this last weekend that he worked a lot to improve his body. He's in the best shape of his life. He's dropped, I think, about 15 pounds and put on some muscle. So he's looking like he's in for a big year two leap. I kind of put him in our predictions piece last year. The batting order is the breakout star of kind of this group and a guy who I think could really be a special piece for LSU this year. And then, you know, for that last outfield spot, you're looking at a couple different players. You're looking at true freshman Paxton Kling, you know, sophomore Josh Stevenson, second year transfer Braden Joubert. And then Dugas, again, is a guy who I think is going to get some run out in the outfield, especially if he doesn't maybe win or get a lot of looks early in the year in the infield. I think you could certainly see him revert back to the outfield by the time SEC play rolls around. So we'll see. We'll see how all that works out. But I think probably the leader in the clubhouse right now would be Paxton Kling, if I had to guess. He's one of the more explosive athletes on the roster. A silky smooth swing. I mean, this is a guy who came in last year before the draft and said, look, I'm not even going into the draft. You guys can't draft me. I'm going to LSU. I want to be at LSU. And so I asked him about that decision, and he said the development aspect and just what Jay Johnson's been able to prove in very little time here in Baton Rouge made him very comfortable with coming to school here for a couple of years and learning and growing as a player before he enters the draft. And this is a guy who in a couple of years very well could be a first round pick if he develops the way LSU thinks he will. And so I think Kling is a guy who will get a lot of opportunities early in the year. Josh Stevenson was probably their fastest guy on the team last year. So you could see him out there in the outfield as well with some opportunities, another lefty bat that, you know, Jay Johnson loves to have the lefties out there and kind of split them up with the right-handed batters. So certainly an option there for LSU as well. But this is an outfield that I think is going to have a lot of different nuances, you know, kind of riddled throughout the season. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I actually just got this as well from D1 Baseball. LSU has three players that are first-team preseason All-Americans. Dylan Cruz in the outfield. Tommy White as a DH, and then Paul Skeens as a utility player. So that's a pretty good lineup there for LSU to have three first-team All-Americans in that D1 Baseball preseason All-Americans list. So that certainly shows you what the offensive potential of this group's going to be.
Yeah, and this team as a whole, I've gathered this just through the media interviews, they're not running away from the expectations that's been placed on them. But they do understand that nothing is won yet. And I like that combination. That's a really healthy combination of mental state. Would you echo that as well?
Yeah, no, I absolutely would echo that. I think that, you know, they're we talked with Jay during the banquet last week. We asked him the same question, or somebody asked him the same question in the media days as well, about these preseason expectations. And they have made it a point since the early part of fall last year, when they knew they had something pretty special here, that they were going to be pretty highly ranked and all that stuff, to make sure the players know that, hey, nothing is promised to us. You know, we have to go out there and prove it on the field every day. And that's kind of the sentiments that were echoed to us from the players last week as well, when we talked with them about, you know, preseason hype and Dylan Cruz potentially being a number one overall pick later this year. He doesn't seem to be letting that get to his head as well. He's one of those guys that's turning on the lights at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night to get in some extra batting sessions. So, just a really, I think, grounded group altogether. Their chemistry seems to be on point. And really excited just to see how this all plays out over the next couple of weeks. We'll get a chance to go to a few scrimmages before the opener and on February 17th. And then we open it up for non-conference play, which will be really, really exciting. I think LSU's got a chance to start off really, really well this year in their schedule. It kind of leans them into a strong start. So we'll see how they certainly start out the year, though.
Yeah, I'm excited for the start of the season. Like you talked about, Western Michigan coming down to Baton Rouge February 17th through the 19th. And Glenn, I got the email, which I was so excited about, that individual single-game tickets go on sale, I think, this upcoming Thursday, which means that at 9 a.m. Central, I'm going to be getting a ticket. I don't know what it's like. I've never been to an LSU game, but I'm pumped. But we're making plans to be down there for the Sanford series. It's going to be a ton of fun to take in a game of the box. And man, I'm excited because March 10th to 12th, that's when the weather really starts to get nice. And hopefully we have a nice spring day.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a great time to come in for. And tickets, individual tickets go on sale February 2nd. So we'll be the plug for LSU baseball here if anybody's listening. But get those tickets, folks. It's going to be a good one. It'll be a good season.
Glenn West doubling as a ticket salesman for the LSU athletic department. Absolutely love it. Well, look, college baseball season is almost here, and I can't encourage you enough. We're going to do more of these podcasts. We're going to have previews of the series. We're going to have recaps of how the series have gone. And, man, if you like LSU baseball, I think this is going to be a one-stop shop for you to really be able to do that. As well, we've got a great deal that is running this week over on Go247. You need to take advantage of some good VIP content. Like Glenn said, we're recording this on Monday. If they do scrimmage, Glenn's going to have some nice little VIP nuggets up for you to see. And Glenn, I hope it doesn't debunk anything we've said on this podcast. But if it is, we're going to have it over on the boards as well. So he is Glenn West. I'm Bryce Kuhn. Make sure to hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. Like, comment down below. And hey, let us know too, what do you want the lineup to look like? Glenn, I saw that you put that on the board, and I think it got spread around on Twitter, and folks were like, what is this guy thinking? Hey, that comes with it. It's going to be a lot of fun though, but a lot of good bats, a lot of good offensive opportunities for these guys. We'll see you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast. If you already are a VIP subscriber, make sure to join the conversation. If not, man, you got a great deal this week you need to take advantage of. We'll see you next time.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it all on fire. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.